teaching this series. Amen. And I'm telling you, I've enjoyed what God has been doing. Amen. And we're thankful for the blessings of the Lord. Amen. Let's open our heart to the teaching of the word.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. It feels good to feel the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
God can do great things even on a Tuesday night.
Amen.
God can change lives on a Tuesday night. Amen. One more time, I wonder if we could just lift our hands. Just thank the Lord for his presence. God, thank you for your presence tonight. Thank you so much for the touch of your spirit, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for caring about us, Lord. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. The blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich. You might not have a dime in the bank, but if you have the Spirit of the Lord operating, that's what makes rich. Amen. Anybody thankful to know him tonight?
Amen.
Brother Brent, if you could help me out tonight. Just take half of those, and if you could pass some to Brother Zach, he'll help you. Amen. We want to continue in this series. We've been doing lessons in Matthew chapter 5. And we're just kind of going down the Beatitudes, and we are over the past several lessons we've been praying and we've been pulling things out that are contrary to the Word of God, and we've been laying in place those foundational stones. And that way we can have a life that is built upon the Word of God. And His Word will never pass away. It will never fail. And I'm thankful for that. Amen. Amen. If we can go to, let me find my place here. I messed up because I actually didn't have these scriptures at the beginning, but that's all right. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Amen. You may be seated. So in this lesson tonight, we will begin to address the challenge to maintain a pure heart. As we've mentioned in previous lessons, this is not a when you get the Holy Ghost, the process is done type situation. This is a lifelong process, and it's going to require lifelong, diligent effort. Keeping your heart pure requires daily prayer and continual maintenance. And if you have ever had the Lord work on you before, anybody been there? and you feel like, God, I'm doing well. I think I'm hearing what you're saying. And it goes a little bit more, a little bit more. It's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. But the end result is of good and not of evil. The enemy of our souls, the devil, is sly. He's crafty. He's cunning. He knows what he's doing. He's been studying humanity for a long time. He understands full well what impact that real Christians have on his evil empire. Therefore, he schemes and he lays snares and traps with bait and enticements. And it is all part of his strategy to steal, to kill, and destroy. Living for God means war. Now we're going to focus on the ongoing conflict that happens when a person chooses to really live for God. Now it would be nice if when you get the Holy Ghost, you get a holy bubble, get some holy bubble wrap around you, and you are insulated from all of the snares and the things that the enemy can throw. And you're just, you know, you wake up every day and there's butterflies and angels singing. And you love to hear the alarm clock and the joy of the Lord is there. And, you know, if all of your goals and all of your visions just kind of took place without any kind of effort, they just seamlessly were laid out before you, and that would be nice, right? But if you have lived any amount of time, you know that is not how living for God works. Living for God is not a cakewalk. Anybody ever been in a cakewalk before? Everybody gets in a little circle and they play the music and everybody just kind of shuffles around. And then when the music stops, we check the numbers. And if you're standing on the right number, you get a prize. That's not how the kingdom of God works. It's going to take some pressing. It's not a merry-go-round, and there are no cheap prizes. It's not all fun and games and laughter, but quite the contrary. It is a brutal fight. Look at your neighbor and say, it's brutal. It is a life and death struggle. The stakes are high and the prize eternal. The great Apostle Paul had to fight all the way to the end. And if he had to fight, then I'm pretty sure you and I are going to have to fight all the way to the end as well. 2 Timothy 4 and 7 says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. That wouldn't be such a remarkable statement if there had not been some struggles along the way. If there had not been some things that would have vied to take his faith from him. But Paul said, I fought a good fight. 1 Corinthians 9 and 26 says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Not just as one that is flailing, but someone that's calculated. Somebody that knows where the enemy's coming from. Someone that has fought some fights before and has made up their mind, I will not quit. I will not give up. And there's a calculated counteraction. Philippians 1 and 30 says, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. There's conflict. Fight the good fight of faith, he tells Timothy. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Timothy, you've professed it. You've said it. Now you got to put your fist where your mouth is. You got to fight the good fight of faith. And so we have an adversary whose primary mission is to destroy our relationship with God. The devil hates anyone who decides to live for God. You become his enemy. You have a target on your back, if you could put it that way. If you choose to really buckle down and live for God, things are not going to be easy, but they're going to be worth it. You have a target on your back, and the more you understand who he is and what his mission is, the better prepared you will be to overcome him. You see, the enemy despises purity. He despises cleanliness. He despises righteousness. Everything that is righteous, holy, godly, clean, and moral, it comes under attack. There's always something that tries to counteract it and try to come against it. The devil hates goodness. He promotes corruption. The devil hates unity. He promotes division. The devil hates clarity. He promotes confusion. He specializes. If you know what a specialist is, you can go to any field of work, and there's those that they know the job. They're good at it. But then you have the specialists. And they've been in this work a long time, and they've got several degrees in Fahrenheit and in Celsius. And they know what they're talking about, because they're specialists. And so he specializes in disruptions and distractions. You see, he's a thief. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, John says. But Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You're going to fight some things, but you're going to find that when you fight and you overcome, it's well worth the fight. Well worth the fight. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage. We don't want him to get his foot in the door. For we are not ignorant of his devices. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says. All right, look at your neighbor and say, buckle your seatbelt. This may get uncomfortable. Here we go. Here's some things that you can expect in your walk with God. Are you ready? Take notes. Everything is not going to go well. No. You will have some very bad days. You're going to receive bad news. It's going to happen. You're going to experience sickness. You're going to experience loss, loneliness, and yes, heaviness. You will grieve and you'll feel terrible emptiness of losing loved ones. You're going to go through trials, but not just trials. Sometimes there'll be fiery trials. You will face challenges that you've never even dreamed of. There will be valleys and unexpected low points in your walk with God. There will be many things and situations that you will have to work through. It will be a constant struggle, a continual fight, and sometimes even total chaos. You will battle with emotions such as rejection and neglect. The adversary will set traps for you. You will be baited and you will be tempted. You will be ambushed from every angle. Evil spirits will attempt to invade your home, your family, and yes, even your church. You will be offended. You will be maligned, lied on, cheated, and done wrong. You will be the target of gossip and even slandered. Family members and so-called friends will turn on you and stab you in the back. You will see close friends backslide. It will prompt questions in your mind. As much as we would like to remain faithful and everything is solid, when you see things like that, take place, you begin to question. You begin to wonder. Things like that are going to happen. You're going to deal with weariness. You're going to deal with fatigue, confusion, and frustration. You will be buffeted, battered, and bruised. You will suffer. You will weep. You will be confused and wonder what is next. You will be disappointed and discouraged. You will have to learn how to fight for survival. You see, living for God is not for the weak. Is everyone encouraged yet? So why did we go through that list? Why did we have to read all of the things? Because we needed to give you an appointed daily dose of discouragement? No. It's because if you live your life thinking that everything is going to be perfect living for God, that the skies are always going to be open, everything's going to work out great, then you will be caught off guard when things fall apart. And you will not know how to respond. And you'll flail and you'll break apart. And you can become shipwrecked. The reason for naming these things is so that when they do happen, you're prepared for them. John 16 and 33. These things I have spoken unto you, Jesus said, that in me you might have peace. Peace. I mean, we're talking about world-ending stuff. We're talking about tribulation. We're talking about all of these things coming upon us. And Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He didn't say you and I have overcome the world. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. So the key here is, if we can stay connected to him, then you and I are going to be okay. It's all going to work out in the end. It doesn't matter what you face. It doesn't matter what you go through. It doesn't matter what comes your way. You're going to be able to make it. You're going to be able to stand strong, and you will grow through it. The only hope for survival is keeping your heart pure and maintaining a close relationship with God. Therefore, prayer is extremely important. Everybody say prayer.
Prayer.
Anointed preaching is extremely important. Everybody say, I love preaching. Church attendance is important. And worship is important. These things we've got to have. Subjecting ourselves to the anointed preaching of the word and keeping a prayerful heart that allows God to be able to do some things, that opens us up for God to be able to work on the inside. Things will be revealed to you that you need to address and clean up. Answers will be given. Direction will be received. Doubts will be dissolved. And confusion will fade away. That sounds like a pretty good deal to me. And so, in the preaching, in the giving of God's word, there is God's grace. His mercy. It's God's way of helping us. And so we've got to learn how to embrace these things. And if our heart is not pure, we are going to be vulnerable to anything. We're going to be vulnerable to any vile spirit. We're going to be vulnerable to any evil work. Not having a prayer life is like walking through a minefield with no kind of direction. No kind of sense of where anything's at. You're just walking aimlessly through life, not being prepared. And then something happens. And we don't know what the result's going to be. It could be you made it through this one okay, or it could be complete devastation. But I don't want to live that kind of life. I don't want to walk through a minefield. I want to pray. And I want the word of God to reach me. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
And so the Beatitudes that we read, Matthew 5, 9 through 11, There is a reason that they follow suit the way that they did. There's a reason that we went through the first ones that we did and then got to the sixth, which talks about having a pure heart. Because Matthew 5, 9 through 11, Jesus is talking about peacemakers. Okay? Verse 9 deals with peacemakers. Why the need for a peacemaker? Evidently, there are peace disruptors. Verse 10 deals with persecution. Evidently, there are persecutors. Verse 11 deals with those that are reviled, persecuted, and spoken evil against. Evidently, there are revilers. And so this is what we will have to face on our walk with God, even after obtaining a pure heart. So you have to wrestle the flesh. You have to wrestle yourself, and you have to get those things out and put some things in, lay some foundational stones, and you get a pure heart and everything seems good. Get ready for the fight. Because even after obtaining a pure heart, and I would say more afterwards, there will be peace disruptors. There will be persecution. There will be revilers and people saying all manner of evil against you falsely. Why? Why is there a target on us to endure the conflict? To have to endure that kind of turmoil, that kind of confusion in the mind and the criticisms that are there. What did we do to deserve this? Anybody ever prayed that? I guess I'm the only one. Because Jesus said, for my sake. You see, the battle that you and I fight, it's bigger than just us. That's why we have to face some of the things that we face. That's why we go through some of the things that we go through, because it's not about us. It's not necessarily about our comforter, our comfort. Yes, Jesus is the comfort, the comforter. He will be there to give peace and comfort, but that's not the end goal. The end goal is the kingdom of heaven. It is a kingdom battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, though that is usually how the battle takes shape. But there are things that drive that wrestling, that drive the wrestling. There's principalities, there's powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. The righteousness of the kingdom of God always suffers ridicule and conflict. Why? Because it is in direct opposition to the spirit of the world and to the innate tendencies of the flesh. There'll always be conflict with the kingdom and with the world. Matthew 11 and 12, Jesus said, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. That's an interesting thought. Remember, you have an enemy who desires to destroy you, but ultimately he wants to damage the kingdom of God. It's more than just us. He wants to get the kingdom. The devil's strategy is to damage the kingdom of God. How? By starting small and corrupting the heart. If he can get into the heart, you see, all he has to do is get into a heart and begin to culture things and begin to pull some things here and turn some things here. Just make a few little adjustments so that there's some corruption that's growing. And then he can stand back, take his gloves off, lay them down, and watch self-destruction happen. He doesn't have to be involved in every step. All he has to do is put some things inside the heart. and then stand back and watch the explosion. Proverbs 4 and 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. How can you handle being the target of unjustified criticism and conflict? The answer is simple: by having a pure heart. By having a pure heart. And so these Beatitudes are ordered for a reason. So if the kingdom of heaven is suffering violence, and there's conflict toward our hearts, how do we get violent? Because we just read, blessed are the peacemakers. So how do you balance that? How do you bring violence, but at the same time bring peace? How do we take things by force biblically? Without a pure heart, we are not prepared for battle. Without a pure heart, we are not prepared for battle. People with impure hearts cannot handle conflict in the right way. They fight back, they seek revenge, they seek payback, they carry grudges, they want to get even, they are vindictive, they want to settle the score. People with impure hearts cannot handle being reviled and persecuted. They get bitter and they get angry. They recruit sympathizers and they have to sympathize and talk about it. And we've heard the expression about people with hot tempers. They can sure dish it out, but they can't take it. You ever heard that before? And we know what that means. They can gouge others, but nobody can gouge them. Christians don't dish it out. And if the gouging comes, they learn to take it. You know, you can give somebody a piece of your mind so much that you don't have any left. We got to be careful. Well, that's not my nature. I don't operate that way. That's not how I do things. Our carnal nature and how we do things is what we're trying to get away from. We're not worried about preserving our nature and how we do things. We're trying to get the nature of Jesus Christ imprinted in us, trying to get the Spirit of Christ in control. You see, meekness is not weakness. It is the strength of control. But the flesh will always try to reject meekness and promote pride. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are both God's. We don't call the shots anymore. That's up to him. And so for a few verses in Matthew 5, Jesus expounded on the necessity of loving your enemies. This was after he had taught them about pure heart. Only the pure in heart can truly love their enemies. Matthew 5, 38 through 48. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Well, if you do this, I'm doing. But I say unto you. See, there's a counteraction there. This is the way things did go. This is the way that the flesh goes. This is the way that the world goes. And this is the norm. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. Whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. A pure heart will be revealed by the way the mouth responds. Luke 6 and 45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Proverbs 15 and 1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Proverbs 15 and 18, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Proverbs 26 and 21, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Proverbs 29 and 22, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgressions. You know, friendships have been destroyed over words that were spoken in a moment of hot, uncontrolled anger. And once those things are spoken, it's done. You can apologize, you can repent, you can, but that which has been done is done. And it's very easy to take words and destroy things. It seems so simple in the action, but the end results can be detrimental. They can be detrimental. It is in perfect order for us to pray every single day and ask God to continually clean and purify the heart. When the heart is not clean, the attitude, the spirit is not right. They're interconnected. It's the same. Notice how David prayed in Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Is it possible to have a pure heart without the help of Jesus Christ? No. No. We need the Spirit of God. We're sinful by nature. Every single one of us need the Spirit of the living God every day. I know my limitations. I know that I'm flesh. I tell God often, I can't make it without you. I can't do this without you. Even those that are talented, even those that have all of the talents and everything seems to line up for them, it's not them doing that. It's because God has blessed them and graced them for a time and a season. But if God were to withdraw his hand, we depend on God. We need God every single day. There's got to be a relationship with God. There's got to be a place that we find with God to say, God, I don't want me. I want less of me, and I want more of you. I want you to come in, and I want you to flood my soul. I want you to flood my mind, because I want to live according to the Word of God. Salvation is initial, but it's also ongoing. And we love to talk about salvation, the death, burial, and resurrection. And that those things can be directly identified in repentance and water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. It's not taught, it's not learned, it's when the Spirit of God begins to come in and fill. And we love talking about that. We love talking about repentance, and we can go back in our life and we can remember where God brought us out of, and we can remember the time that we went to the altar, and we can remember the time that we knelt down and we began to pray, and there was a change. There was a transformation. We felt something. And it's been time and time again where we've had to kneel at an altar. And we put, again, we're baptized once in the name of Jesus Christ, but every time we repent, there's still that washing. There's still that flowing. There's still that covering of the blood of Jesus Christ. Anybody thankful for that? Anybody thankful for the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ? For His grace and His mercy, but we can repent. And we can get to that place. It's not initial. It's not one time. It's not two times. But repentance and working towards a pure heart should be every day. A pure heart is a heart that had their sins forgiven, remitted, washed away, and taken off of the record repeatedly. Repeatedly. I need God every day. Every day. Can we stand tonight? But repentance is more than just saying I'm sorry. Repentance is a change of direction. Repentance is a change of attitude. Repentance is a giving up of ourselves and letting the Holy Ghost take control. Repentance is something that often involves tears, and it often is very deep, and it always involves sincerity, true repentance. And that true repentance is required when we are baptized. But every time we come before the throne of God, let it be that our hearts are humble, that we are completely yielded and obedient to His word, because we all need it. We have to have it to make it. I don't want to be lost. I don't want my family to be lost. I don't want my friends to be lost. I don't want anybody to be lost. And I want to live this life of repentance. I want to live having a pure heart so that I can be pleasing to God. I wonder if we can lift our hands tonight. The Spirit of the Lord is here tonight. The strength and the help of the Lord is working in us. I wonder if we could just take a moment to worship Him. However you feel like doing, just take a moment and really, really focus. Come on, let there be an intent, desire for Him that begins to arise. Come on, that longing for Him. I love you, Jesus. Whatever it means, God, I want a pure heart. God, I want to be acceptable in your sight. We have all sinned and come short, God, but because you've been so good to us, there's an opportunity. God, I love you and I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your truth. I thank you for the word of God. I thank you for the opportunity that you have given to me every day. Oh, God, what an opportunity to be able to come before your throne of grace to find help in the time of need. What an opportunity, God, to be able to call on you and to know that you hear and answer. We honor you. We give you the praise, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I wonder if you could give him a hand clap of praise today. Oh, can we lift our voice to him today? Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Sometimes the thoughts, sometimes, I will say all of the time, we are harder on ourselves. We will condemn ourselves faster than God ever would. Condemnation and the feelings of, well, this and all the excuses, they're all present and accounted for. But God is saying, come on. Come on. He means what he says, but there's such a mercy and such a grace, a kindness of the Lord. Amen. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for that. Isn't it good to feel the presence of God? Amen. To know that he is for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. One more time as we dismiss, I wonder if you could give him a hand clap of praise.